This is 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media. Author David Whitus believes blues music and blues artists don't get proper recognition as being part of the great African-American migration of the 20th century. This is past WGLT summer concert headliner and Chicago blues elder statesman Jimmy Burns. He's one of many profiled in Whitus' new book, Blues Legacy, Tradition and Innovation in Chicago. It's just out from the U of I Press. Whitus highlights Chicago's blues artists that span from those who helped define the post-war era to today's inheritors of that legacy. Whitus tells WGLT he also wanted to beef up the thin recorded history of how Chicago families and mentors bequeath their music from one generation to the next.
And I wanted to show that what's going on today is part of a living continuum that goes back generations and that, of course, originated in the South. And it's really part of that same epic story of the Great Migration, the African-American diaspora of the 20th century that virtually created mid-late 20th century American popular culture in so many ways. This is part of that story. And unfortunately, I think even today, the blues isn't always taken seriously as part of that story. You know, we hear about the great men and women, the great people of arts and letters who came to Chicago, moved to Harlem, moved to Detroit, moved to the Midwest, and to California. And somehow, this particular blues genre isn't often included in that discussion. And I do think Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and Coco Taylor and beyond need to be considered seriously as part of that really grand, epic, cultural phenomenon.
Do you mean that they brought the blues with them from the South? Is that what you're getting at?
This is part of African-American Southern culture that spread through the country, along with gospel, along with jazz, along with the intellectual and artistic gifts of the people of that era, of that generation. And I think it deserves to be talked about in the same way. You know, you read a book like The Warmth of Other Suns, and the work of people like Dempsey Travis and other historians, Timiel Black, talking about the diaspora and the Great Migration and how it gave so much to American culture and American history. Also, of course, was a matter of struggle and prevailing against oppression. And this is part of that story. This is part of that grand epic story. In a relatively small way, I'm not claiming to have an epic here, but I wanted to discuss this in that context.
Why do you think it hasn't been as well recognized as you think it should be?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. From the very beginning, at least in terms of the white so-called discovery of the music, you know, the old folkies and the old archivists, they meant well. And I'm not at all criticizing people who went south and discovered people like Funhouse or Skip James or whoever else, or who discovered all those old 78s and realized there was a treasure trove of artistic expression here. But I don't think they approached it from the same artistic and cultural standpoint that jazz historians and historians of literature and poetry and other high art, shall we say, that discussed other aspects of this same history. And it was kind of shunted to the side in that sense and became entertainment for dilettantes. And I think people miss the deeper implications. I mean, that's a general statement, and I'm not saying that was always the case, but kind of like so-called Dixieland jazz, it was trivialized as kind of goofy party music for a long time before people realized how serious it was in the lives and culture of the people of New Orleans and Louisiana and the South in those early days. And today, I think, it's trivialized by being made kind of a tourist attraction without that deeper connotation being understood.